we've made a wrong turn, and we are stuck in a haunted spaceship. Not Event Horizon. The AI's got a god complex that it wants us dead, and there's no escape key in sight. We're talking haunted hardware and killer code, and corridors are full of corrupted data with zero tech support. So boot up and mash some buttons as we delve into this digital hellscape of Debug 2014. This is the Wrong Turn Podcast.
I couldn't keep it straight. All right. This is the Wrong Turn Podcast. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
If you're on this page, you've made a wrong turn and you are in the right place for horror movies. My name is Edgar. I am with Courtney here, and we talk about horror movies. Part of the reason I made this podcast was because I think I ran the gamut on listening to all the podcasts of horror movies, so I could always listen to one more throughout my week. So this is that. We're like your D-list horror podcast.
Absolutely.
And today we're still on like that little digital kick or digital horror kick. So we're doing 2014's Debug, starring the infamous or the only, the legendary Jason Momoa, not used appropriately in this movie, completely undervalued in this movie initially. But before we get to that, a couple things. One, in horror news, Courtney, I sent you a link for this. Let me look it up real quick. Eli Roth, who you love.
Yes, I saw this.
Is opened up a investment for a horror production company. It's an independent studio. It's actually, at this point, has earned $2.2 million, 74 days to invest. And he actually has like a feature on like how much he plans to give back to investors. I mean, looking at the math, it's kind of cool. It's kind of interesting. You know, like, it's not like you have like a say in anything, but you know, if you're looking to invest in something and you love horror movies, well, yeah, why not? Right.
I mean, I have not invested, but if I were to trust my money with someone horror related, I guess it would be Eli.
Well, like it's kind of like based, or the pitch is that horror movies have low budgets, high output, right? Mm-hmm. So like something they're saying that a horror movie can potentially make 780% off of its initial investment.
Oh,
which is huge. Like, here's one thing. And in the long run, even more, right? Especially if it becomes like a cult, like, but just box office alone. Like, let's say we talked about Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, right? Budget was 15 million.
Yeah.
Box office was 46 million. You can look at that movie and you can tell like the budget wasn't insane. It wasn't a $250 million like Disney Marvel movie or anything like that.
And even so, 15 million is a lot for a horror movie. And he got that money because he is Eli Roth.
It's true. Yeah, you're right. But it looked clean. It looked very.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's an awesome flick. We enjoyed it.
So, I mean, they're only trying to raise 5 million. They got 74 days left. I might. And like he has a 5-year plan for investors. So like 5 years, investors should be getting a percentage off profits. If I read this correctly, it's interesting. I don't know.
I know you're a lot better at it than I am, and I need to get a little bit more informed. Is there a minimum? I didn't think I read that far. Is there like a minimum you have to invest?
Minimum is $100 entry level into a raffle on screen credit. So you could possibly be on screen, your name. I said that backwards. Dyslexia. Investor town hall Zoom meeting with Eli Roth. Oh, so it's a little, you know.
Cool. Not bad.
The horror section investor newsletter and a THS digital stock certificate, you know, basically saying that you own part of this, which I believe THS is the horror section is what it stands for. The second tier, this $666.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah, you get a signed stock certificate with a bloody handprint. Blood could be real or not. And you get invited to the meet and greets with Eli Roth. Dollars limited edition investor only merch. Oh, so you get, I wonder if you get like access to like a store that has it, or that's interesting. It'd be interesting. But yeah, then it gets like ridiculous amounts of money. That's like too rich for our blood. But yeah, but
well, that's cool. That would be the limit. Like that would be the amount you're investing where you would actually see some sort of profit come back. But if you have $100 that you truly are like, I just love this, love horror, you want to give it to Eli? It sounds like you get some cool things for $100.
Well, I mean, like, I forgot where I read the investment return. I mean, I'm assuming that the more you put in, the more you would get back. I guess it would probably be a percentage. That's also assuming that the movies make as much as, you know, some of the former IP that's been going on. I mean, and I don't know exactly what that means, that only for the first 5 years. Okay, sure. Shares in the company plus 10% of the net profits for the films for 5 years. Or maybe it's just for the first 5 years of that movie comes out. That could also be interpreted that way. Because after that, then maybe it just goes to Eli and the company. You know, because Freddy Krueger keeps making money, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
So, you know.
Royalties on that.
Yeah, so I guess the investors would only make money off for the first 5 years. That's paid back to the investors. And for the next 20 plus 30, 40, infinity years, it goes to the company in perpetuity, whatever. You know? Okay, no, it's just before we get too bogged down in like the specifics and things like that, super interesting. I just thought it's kind of cool. And then there have been little things like this popping up recently. You know, it's kind of like its own version of Indiegogo or Patreon. And, you know, it's with somebody credible. It's not like we're asking, you know, a guy down the street to open up, which fully encouraged to open up their own Patreon and, like, you know, film their own movies and things like that.
Get out there and but do there it. Is, like, you have to start.
But there is a plan to, like, give investors back their money, you know? So, which is something any investor always wants to hear.
Exactly. A detailed plan about what he is, in fact, doing. And not just like a, hey, give me your money and I'm going to do this, maybe.
Yeah, and like, oh, you get a book. I'm like, cool, I just gave you $50. I got a book. Like, yeah. Which is fine. That's understandable. Yeah,
I know.
But some of those Patreon things have not been going through very well recently. Like, I think I'm still on. I think it was Patreon or Indiegogo or Kickstarter. I'm pretty sure I'm still on a Kickstarter that I signed up to like 10 years ago that I have not gotten the book for. I'm like, and I think I reached out to them not too long ago. I was like, hey, where's my book? Or like, I was supposed to even get a digital copy of the book. And like, well, not in your tier. And I'm like, yeah, in my tier. Like, I had to email them and everything. Like, shoot. All right, like, and I don't even think that book has even come out yet. So I'm like, all right.
Yeah. So
and
it's I hear like,
that's been, yeah, huge issue.
No, that sucks because you are a fan and you're like, no, I was genuinely invested in this because I like it. But like, it's been 10 years. Like, that's not cool.
I think I'm pretty sure it was like 2014, 20. Yeah. Well, the movies came out. Yeah.
There you go.
We're not there yet. No segue yet. But yeah. Okay. So moving on. Courtney, I've been watching a couple things recently. Been trying to catch up. There have been a lot of horror movies dropped in the last couple of months. Saw The Companion.
How did you like it?
I liked it.
I liked it too. I did see that one. I liked it.
It was fun. I was talking to my other horror friend and they were like, they hadn't seen it yet because they had heard it was more sci-fi than horror. But I'm like, the themes are sci-fi, but the play out is horrific, you know? So kind of like the movie we're going to talk about today. Not there yet. Not segue yet.
Not there yet, but I mean, it's AI related.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there you go. Before it's time. Too soon, Stephen Hewitt. All right. And then what else did I say? I saw The Monkey. I really
like
that.
Oh my God, I need to. I feel like I would just absolutely love that one because I know it's funny, but I have not seen it yet.
That's probably one of the best adaptations, like just because I don't think it stuck too much to like Stephen King prose or like, you know, his topic. It felt like it worked out so well, even though I feel like the Stephen King themes were still kind of still there a little bit. But I thought it was actually really fun, and I think we need more like a little bit more like a reverent horror that didn't take itself too seriously.
And that's what
which
I like.
A lot of it doesn't, but so it's just kind of weird. I don't know. I feel like I had friends and coworkers that did not like this movie, and I'm like, obviously they're not horror heads, but I was just like, why not? It's fun. What's
I've heard
wrong
both
fun?
Sides in the horror community as well. Like some people just absolutely hated it. And then other people are like, no, it was fantastic. And I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I feel like I'm really going to like it.
So this was by Osgood Perkins, right? From
yes.
Long Legs.
Long Legs.
Filmed right after Long Legs or almost during. Yeah, right after Long Legs. And he also has another movie coming out. So he's just like three back-to-back movies. And I think his other movie comes out this year as well. So this man is just like.
And it's
shoot.
So cool to see him doing all of this because I remember him specifically from Legally Blonde. He has a very minor role in that movie.
I but saw like, that clip.
It was like every time I see him, I think of that movie, but I'm just like so proud of this stranger. I'm like, good for you, dude. Like, you're making cool shit. I love that.
So I'm so just like, yeah, every once in a while you'll see somebody on screen be like, following their career. I'm like, you're doing good, boss. You're doing great.
I'm like, I don't know you, but congrats.
Yeah, I respect that 100%. I think I saw something else. I've been trying to watch Dexter Original Sin because I have a friend who's also deep into the Dexter lore, and they were recommending it. I'm like, yeah, it's just nice to put it on the background. You know, you're watching. It's just more Dexter. It's kind of fun. The only thing that kind of gets me is the blatant use of like a 90s soundtrack. They're like, don't forget, this is the 90s. So we got to listen to this song, you know.
Don't forget.
Or they're like, or their use of, you know, lingo from the 90s. And it's just like, I feel like they're not even using it properly. But whatever.
That's small the gripe. Issue where it's like, if you're going to use it, make sure you have it in the correct content. And you're not just like, you know, you're not all that in a bag of potato chips. You're like, what are you talking? What?
I still use that.
I still do. Yeah. But it's like in the correct context. It's okay.
They have been. It's just cringy when they're saying it. It's so cringe, you know. They have a cop
that's
saying
just their that's acting.
I know, it could be. Yeah, they weren't there for it.
Exactly, they weren't even born, so it's like
yeah you have a cop saying that's da bomb, and I'm like, oh boss, it's
was ugh, a cop making... saying that you're right.
No, I don't think a cop would ever say that,
period. Yeah, that's what I mean. I was like, I don't think a cop was saying that.
After our foray into BrainScan, which I think we changed the algorithm because now BrainScan is on Shudder right after we posted our episode.
It's us.
We're gonna make an itinerary. I'm just gonna start Googling our movies like a few months in advance, see what happens.
Exactly. Maybe they'll get on the free streaming sites.
We just want it on Tubi and Pluto. That's it. That's all we need. And I think I tried to watch another movie that they recommended that was just like, oh, if you love digital hellscapes, you're going to love this movie, Arcade. I think it was called Arcade. And I was like reading the premise like, oh, I could totally get into this, but it's just so dated by like awful like 90s graphics. Mm-hmm. I think it could even be early as 2000. It can be fair. But all-star cast, like I forgot who else was in this. Like Seth Green was in this and the main actor from Christmas Story, like he was one of the main guys. I'm just like, dude, this movie on paper maybe should have done okay, but it looks like more like a little sci-fi channel, you know, straight to TV movie. Awful. I couldn't even get through it just because of the graphics. Everything okay. Else I was kind of into.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, yeah. The other than that, Courtney, what are you watching?
The one thing I did want to mention is I finally found, I don't want to say finally found, but do you remember the movie Wax Work?
OG or a remake? Oh, wait.
The 80s one.
Well, I was thinking about House of Wax. See? I've seen both. I've seen all of them.
Okay. Because I remember watching this at some point when I was a little kid because my mom was watching it and remember specific scenes. And for some reason, like as I got older, I always remembered it, but I was like, what was that movie? And I feel like whenever I would mention it, people would be like, oh, you mean House of Wax? And I'm like, no. It wasn't House of Wax because it wasn't like as scary. I remember that. And they're like, no, it's like House of Wax because as you said, like there's the remake, there's old ones. No, but it wasn't. Of course, it just takes a quick Google or whatever. But I was just rummaging around on Tubi the other night when I was dog sitting and I found it and I started watching it. And I was like, this was the one I was fucking talking about for years. So it was just really great to revisit that. So it's a very similar concept, like except for they get invited to this wax museum because they think it's like a party or something happening there. And then each of the people get like sucked into a different wax situation. So like the first one is like a cabin with a werewolf. The second one is like a vampire and so on. So it's not. And then like once they die, they're part of the wax. Like
scene. Obviously.
Yeah. But it's so fucking good. I thought the acting was great.
Awesome.
It's very 80s. It's campy as fuck, which I love.
No, it's great. It's a fucking amazing. I love fucking wax work. Wow.
Yeah. And the
also,
scene,
yeah. Good, sorry.
I was going to say, the scene that I remember so specifically as a kid is the actual vampire scene, is when the girl that gets sucked into that and she's eating the raw meat. It's that, like, yep, the dinner. I remember that so vividly watching it as a kid and being like, completely fucking gross out.
Plates of like,
and it holds up
red dishes.
Yes,
like, and it's
and then
just
like
so
chewing on the bloody, and like it's holds up. It is still done really well. I'm like, this is rules.
We're calling it next episode. We're doing Waxwork. Maybe Waxwork 2, Lost in Time as well. Just to throw it in there.
I mean, we can just do like, back to back real quick, or just throw them all in there. But I was just
I've never seen part 2. That's why I'm just like,
yeah. So we can focus on one, because one rules. Like, I watched it, I'm like, this fucking holds up. This is better. It's better in some ways than House of Wax. So don't get me wrong, I like House of Wax, because that one is scarier, I feel. Because again, this one's campy, but it's so good.
I mean, like, one's like very fantastical, House Wax work, and House of Wax is more like slasher. I don't think I saw the OG Waxwork like years ago. I can't even remember. Sorry, House of Wax. But the remake of House of Wax was actually pretty good. I only saw it a couple of years ago. I never got into it when it first came out. And I was like, oh, this is pretty good. And it's pretty fun. And I was like, I was really into it. I think if I would have watched it when it came out, I would have hated it. I was just really pretentious back then.
Yeah.
So I was just like,
you'd have been like, this isn't true to blah, blah, this, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. He's just being stupid gatekeepy asshole myself. Yeah. But Waxwork like was one of those films that like you probably caught it like on a Saturday afternoon. Like I watched it on Channel 33 over here and it just like popped on and I was just like, what is this movie?
Yeah.
And it just had all these like great scenery and great fantastical elements, and then just a bunch of shitty teenagers that just, you know, I think it is that they get invited to the debut of the Waxworks opening, if I remember correctly. And it's got like a huge cast.
There's some names in it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
We could pause. That might be.
We're going to save that one.
We're going to save that. Anyway, I loved it. The one movie that I think I'm going to watch tonight, and we were talking about Stephen King, only because I was like, it's been on my list for a while and I realize it's on Netflix now and it's like Into the Tall Grass or In the Tall Grass.
You want to talk about it?
I mean, I haven't watched it yet. I think I'm going to watch it tonight. And I caught the trailer like randomly last night and I knew it was on my list of things I wanted to watch. And I was like, oh, it's on Netflix. And I was like, this feels so time loopy and weird. Almost like it could be an M. Night Shyamalan gig, but it's not.
All right. Two things I will tell you. One, I've watched it a few times already because I like it that much.
Okay.
Two, yes, Stephen King and his son did this movie together, or the script for this movie. So it's just Joe Hill and Stephen King joint, which I'm like, I don't know which elements are which. I'm trying to like, sometimes I try to like sparse out whose idea was what. That's the only two things I'll say.
Okay. Well, then we'll
shelve it.
We'll shelve it now, just so you know, I'm going to be watching it soon.
It's gonna be a great time, regardless if you hate it or if you like it.
I'm gonna like it. I feel like it's one that I would be really into. And now segue into what we're gonna talk about today. I've just been rewatching Orange Is the New Black. For some reason, I just was like, I remember watching that show when it came out, and I know it was a big deal, and it was one of the really first Netflix produced TV shows that went like huge. I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel like that was like one of the first ones where people were like, oh, Netflix was like changing the game as we speak. And anyway, it's good. Like as I'm rewatching it, I'm like, oh, this is fun. It's easy to kind of put in the background. There's a lot of comedy in it. I don't know. Like it's a good one. We'll see if I make it all the way through the 7 seasons. I'm only on season 2. I remember it.
Wait, have you never watched it before?
I've seen it. I've seen it through, but at the same time, I'm like, will I make it all the way to the end? Because I remember it just getting really, like, with how many additional new characters to keep adding. I mean, as you would, it's a prison, but it gets a little, like, a lot. It's after a while, which is fine, because Piper as a character, after a while, you really begin to hate her. You really fucking begin to hate her guts. And you're like, I understand the first scene is all about her. Then afterwards, you're like, oh my fucking God. Like, you truly are the worst.
Yeah. Even then in the beginning, it's just like, he's like, you're pretty. You're so fucking annoying. But yeah. I get it. It's No, you completely hit the nail on the head. You're right. Like, those first few, one of the first few Netflix shows that like really hit like home. People were waiting for the next drop every year. And then I think it just kind of fell off. I don't know if it's still going. I don't know if they have another season.
No, it's done. It's 7 seasons, people, which like, is still quite a lot. And I think I remember watching it all the way through 7.
But I don't, after like the sixth or seventh season, like, I don't think, or after like the fifth, I remember what happened in the sixth season. I feel like I watched, but at that point, I don't feel like I was invested as much anymore. And I wasn't paying attention.
Getting a lot of new people. Like, it's just you, it steers away from the original cast, I think. But again, that's fine. Like, it's new stories. You're in a prison, all these new things happening. I don't know. But anyway, let's segue that into Debug, because Debug deals with prisoners.
Our actual segue. Okay.
Finally.
There you go. The 14's Debug, not rated.
We could safely assume it should be rated R.
Possibly. I mean, it could have been PG-13.
It's a bit of blood.
I'm pretty sure this is a Canadian production of six young computer hackers sent to work on a derelict spaceship are forced to match wits with a vengeful artificial intelligence that would kill to be human. Also, I feel like this should have mentioned that there are six incarcerated computer hackers, you know, or on probation. Agreed. Computer.
Because yeah. In the original description, it should say that, because it's like you get introduced, you're like, oh, they're all in prison. They're forced to do this.
Directed by David Hewitt, written by him, who we will most recognize from from the Cube film, who played the architect. Cube,
which we have covered.
Worth. Yeah, I think it was Worth. That's the name of his character. So he was trying to he was very inspired by Stanley Kubrick's 2001 film Odyssey and the AI involved in that. That's as far as I've gotten. It stars Tenika Davis, Jason Momoa, who's horrifically underused, Adrian Holmes, Kyle Mack, Jaden Wong, and Jenna Goosen, Janine Goosen, who is in one of the seasons of this TV show Slasher, which I don't know if you've watched.
I have not.
Okay. This TV show. All right. So.
Which character is she?
She's Kata. She's the main character. Okay.
So she's the main girl. Got it.
She's our Ripley, which is like trying to be Ripley real, real hard.
Yeah.
Segue into Slasher real quick. Because I was really into Slasher for a while. I think you could watch the first season on Netflix. Each season is kind of like a different slasher trope. So I think the first one is like almost like I Know What You Did Last Summer. And I forgot what the second one was. Second one, I think, is like mostly like a little bit like Scream a little bit. And then they start really going off the rails but each one, then they really try to play up the horror tropes. And it's pretty horrific for, I think it's supposed to be television. As far as like how gory it gets. And I think Jada Goosen is in season 4 or 5 along with David Cronenberg, who's like one of the main like antagonists of that season. And then they were really getting fun with it because after the season 1 and 2, they start incorporating the same actors just in different roles, because you know everybody's going to get killed off, because that's part of the whole appeal. It's just like, who's going to die? Who's the killer? And like, what's the story behind it? It's super fun. I really, really like. I didn't get into season 5 or 6 because I think it was just getting a little drawn out at that point. But that one is a period piece on Jack the Ripper. So that one's, maybe I should go back to that. I keep thinking about it. So maybe I'll finish it. But that one was super fun. That's the segue on that one. Where do you want to start with Debug?
Well, first of all, I want to say David Hewitt, the director and writer, him and Jason Momoa have like a little back history, because they were on Stargate Atlantis together. So I think why I initially kind of first really sought this movie out is because I'm a huge Stargate Atlantis nerd. And what I get from the feeling of this is because I believe that they're still friends and because they worked well together. They were on that show pretty much the whole time together. Jason joined season 2 and was with them until season 5 when it ended. And they were both characters on like the main crew. So I do get a lot of Stargate Atlantis vibes from this. And you say like Jason Momoa is underused. He is. But I want to say that it's this 2014 had been on Game of Thrones, but I don't think Game of Thrones had gotten to where it was super successful yet. Like, because he was on season 1 of Game of Thrones, and I feel like it took to like season 3 where people were like, oh my god, this fucking show, and then it like, you know, went crazy, and that's when he got like his big push was Game of Thrones. But I feel like this movie came out before all that. But again, he is underused. But I do feel like this was probably like it just feels like David Hewitt was probably like, hey, I'm doing this movie. Like, are you in? And Jason Momoa was probably like, yeah, I'd love to do it. And then just that was the conversation. Again, I don't know these people.
Give me one second.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. We have to pause the baby. Meesh. Can hear that little meeshers.
Everything's fine. She just got scared because something fell on the floor. Whew. That scared me a little.
It's okay. You're good. You're on it. You're like, what was that?
The thing falling would like made a huge noise. So you were saying Stargate Atlantis.
So no, you're all good. So yeah, they were on Stargate Atlantis together. So I just feel like, again, I don't know these people, but I feel like David Hewitt and Jason are probably just like still buddies. And David was like, hey man, I wrote this movie. I got this. Like, do you want to be in it? And Jason was probably like, hell yeah, I love being the bad guy. And like, that was a conversation.
But all right, give me one second here. Wait a minute. Run me down. Before we get too far into this movie, give me the premise of Stargate Atlantis. What the fuck is this show about? I understand Stargate, and I understand the OG Stargate movie. I saw it. I was really into it when it came out. The TV show, I think I was a little into it when it came out, starring the guy from MacGyver. But then, all right, give me Atlantis.
So Stargate Atlantis is, as you know, in the Stargate universe. It is like the subdivision crew. So they are the Stargate Atlantis crew. So their whole like duty and world takes place on Atlantis. So they have their like home area is Atlantis, which is a sunken town that they lifted from the water. So it like sits on top of the water now, but they had to go down and grab it and lift it back up. And like that's their home base. And so they go on their own little Stargate adventures, but they are the Stargate Atlantis crew. So they still have like the puddle jumpers and they still travel through those kind of like things, but they have their own little adventures.
So these portals take them to different places that aren't in the original, like guess canon or whatever.
Correct. But they're still battling the Wraith. The Wraith is like the main bad guys where it's like they're constantly trying to like find Atlantis, but Atlantis is a secret because there's like all these like barriers and things like that. They go to like different planets and things like that. So it's all within the Stargate universe. You do see other Stargate characters from other things because there's more than just Stargate. There's obviously the original Stargate, Atlantis, and then there's like a bunch of other ones. It's just different crews.
Yeah, it's fine. That's fine.
Look, I don't like any of the other Stargates but the Atlantis one.
You don't gotta be a Star. You don't, not to me. You can like what you like.
I'm letting you know. I was like, yeah, I get Stargate's a whole thing, but I just like the Atlantis one
for other reasons other than Jason Momoa.
True, but it's also just the one I think the better ones. Like, it's just more fun.
I feel like they like yellowed up his skin in some of these photos, like to make it look like he was otherworldly. Like that's a crazy tan that you got going on. You're not even bronze. You're like yellow. You're gold almost. And I'm just like, Jesus.
They stuck him in a tanning bed.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty spray on tan. All right, so give me your. So that leads us to. Wait. Also going back to Jason Momoa. Yeah, you're right. All right, so Game of Thrones, eight episodes back in 2011, 2012. So like right before Debug, he'd already done Conan the Barbarian, the movie. So he already had his own movie where he's huge. Like, I don't know. That's kind of weird. Yeah, it is kind
of
weird.
That's why I feel like it was more of like David Hewitt being like, hey, do you want to be in my movie? Be the bad guy in my movie? And Jason Momoa was like, absolutely. Sure, bud.
Yeah, and I know he also did this like right around the same time as Wolves, where he starred with another actor from this movie, the guy who has the brother, and they were both in Wolves together. So like there's Wolves. So it's like a little bit like a fun. I'm going to watch it. I always wanted to watch Wolves.
It's fun. I like it.
So it's kind of like, yeah, maybe like it's a little bit more of like a group project a little bit.
I mean, because he's still friends with those guys. Like Jason did a Guinness commercial, not this year, last year, that has the captain, Joe Flanagan, I think the actor's name is. But Colonel Shepard is the character's name in Stargate Atlantis. But Joe Flanagan was in the Guinness commercial with Jason Momoa, and it was like such a cute reunion. I watched it. I was like, yay, a callback to Stargate Atlantis.
The only you got. Okay, so do you want to take us through this movie real quick?
Yeah, I mean, as far as Debug goes, so we have our six felons that have onboarded this derelict spaceship to hack it. And obviously there's an AI in there that keeps trying. I don't know. You're better at doing a synopsis than I am. There's not like Jason Momoa is the AI.
Which I was like, he should have gotten more playtime. He should have gotten.
He was mostly on screen, like just his face on screen. But basically, he's as the AI, he starts killing these characters off individually, one by one. The thing about this movie is, I don't feel like there's. They kind of like say it here and there. We're like, well, what was the ship? Was it a prison ship? Like, what are you doing on the ship? Like, why are you protecting it? And you don't ever really get an answer. And so he's just like mindlessly killing, which, I mean, whatever, I guess. But I guess the plot twist is that our Ripley, as you called her, was the one that suggested that they go to the ship, or like hacked into the system that they go to this ship because she wanted to like escape.
I think it's one of the, all right, we're running it down. All right. So you got the six. Let me see if we get this correct. We got the six.
And their boss or their guard who.
Probation officer or whatever. Probation officer. Yeah, jail, which doesn't look like he's part of the movie. Like his costume was just like, I'm just looking for my notes right now. I was just like, where can't I have my notebooks like all upside down. And I'm like trying to find out where I left it.
But he's not even a good probation officer. He's like, all right, you guys get to work. Then wants to go back to the shuttle. But then I guess you find out that he's a junkie of some sort, because that's like his downfall, because the AI like basically.
That's not like super. You only see that once.
And nothing like, is super clear in this movie.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I was just like, it's just like you did that for editing, or like you just ran out. Like the premise is there, and I feel like sometimes I also listen along with like some horror podcasts, some sci-fi podcasts, and I feel like this would have been a really good short sci-fi story. Like I think this would have like really, really played out really well, written out, because you have your characters there. Like you had some compelling characters there. You had some story development. You got your setup, but then all of a sudden you just kind of like fell out, or things just weren't communicated properly. So you have your six inmates who are, it's a part of their sentences clearing out, I guess, AI or programs from derelict ships or what have you, which is, you know, really like real life horror. It's just like being a hacker is like almost like a blue collar job in the future. It's just kind of weird.
I mean, it is interesting that we kind of stumbled into this one, because it was never something that I would have suggested. I mean, AI is more than relevant as ever, and it's just going to keep growing. And it's true. It's an issue. It's like, you're an artist, I'm an artist. Like, we have this podcast. Like, it's one of those things where can AI be helpful, but it's stealing so much of artists' work.
No, I mean, we definitely use like AI to like edit down the episode and take out.
But that's us working with it.
To take out pauses.
Yeah.
All right, so then you're right, Kata, played by Janine Goosen, has I guess like maneuvered them to take on this job, because I think it's her last job before she gets released.
Okay,
so that's her end goal. And then the other guy, who I believe is this Mel, who's really got a heart on, he's like, well, Kata can't be involved because, you know, she's gonna blah, 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 blah. No woman's gonna tell me what to do or what have you. So it's like, I want to be in charge. So Capra, Adrian Helms, he's the probation officer. I'm gonna call him probation officer, but who shops at Old Navy, who doesn't look like he's part of this fucking movie, because he's the only one wearing normal clothes, like not even like a future jacket.
He has that like thing right here, which like it's like for a while.
The fuck,
like,
is just- that?
You and I get into this so many times. We're like, why do you just have like a little like Bluetooth, like old school Bluetooth, whatever. And it was just like almost Star Trek, like just like sitting up here. And we're like, I guess that's supposed to be for communications, but it's not used.
It's like, never used once. Like,
so
like,
it's supposed to like add to his outfit, I guess.
Yeah, which there is. My point is that there is no outfit, and I wrote it down in my fucking notes. If I can find my fucking notes, the one of the other things was just like the use of the HUD, which I forgot what it said for a head user display. I thought it was super clever.
Yeah. Well, I thought the HUD was great, and I thought it looked great on screen as far as all of them using it. I had no issues with that.
I feel like this could have been like a sci-fi TV show, and I feel like maybe that's what's David Hewitt was kind of going for a little bit. So in the cold open, we get Jason Momoa in one of his only like in-person appearances in the TV show. That's why I think he was like maybe there for a day.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I only can do this. I have a day. And then it was just like, all right, cool. We'll make it work.
Yeah. I feel like that's what happened. Or like, cause he is like the screen display thing was just heavily used. And I'm like, come on, man. Like you gave us a cold open when you're there and you burst into this woman. I'm like, I thought we were going to get a little bit more of that.
Wouldn't you want to use his pretty face more? So I feel like you're correct in that they only had him for like a day.
Yeah, because then you start seeing like these cheesy lines. And like you said, nothing's very clear. And you don't even get I get it. His programming is that he wants to survive and he wants to absorb people because they say he's trying to become more human. But I don't know if that's actually his fucking end goal.
They said that, but
I don't think it's true.
But I don't think it's true. It's not clear because, sorry, spoilers, here we are. At the ending, he's not, like, he doesn't become human. Like,
no. Yeah.
So I was like, is that what he's after? Unless, like, the next part was supposed to be like, all right, now we're going to take these human lives of this, like, luxury cruise spaceship, and now I'll be human. So is that what his deal is? Like, I take the life so I can become more human? Or have a human body?
See that, or like I'm taking in more blood or whatever, which is like weird. Oh, also, knockoff Event Horizon movie through and through.
Yeah.
Like 100%. Like this takes so many things from Event Horizon, you know, because at one point you think the ship's haunted and what have you. And then like I thought they were going to give like all these like glimpses of what happened on the ship before people made it murders, but I guess it's just Jason Momoa murdering people or Jason Momoa filling in or taking over people's psyche to kill other passengers or whatever. But like you said, like, well, yeah, what's the...
He's like all of the AI. So I guess he does. I don't know. There's five of him.
I don't know.
There's six. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that was
there's a weird thing. Yeah, there's like five of him and you have to kill all five of them in order to like hack them.
That was silly because it was just like, all right. I don't even know where to begin.
We're lost.
Well, this is my notes.
One thing I do want to say, though, as far as like Jason Momoa goes, I was getting some, like, he is a little bit campy in this, a little hammy, which is great. And I was getting some fun little like Billy Zane vibes from him, like Billy Zane a la Demon Knight.
We just needed more of it.
Yeah, of course we did. Like, he was being a little goofball, and I was like, I'm into this, but you didn't get enough of it.
Didn't get enough of it. I think, I don't know, did you think it was going to take away from the movie? If they were going to try to be too funny, or if he was going to try to be too, like, or they were trying to just be, like, hardcore sci-fi, so there's no levity in it, you know? Like, there's a little, he starts yelling, like, he tries to do, like, one of his signature screams in, like, one of the scenes where the girl's killed off camera, unfortunately. I'm just like, first of all, you kill her off camera, and then secondly, like, you should have given Jason Momoa some scream time to camp it up. But yeah, he looks like a supervillain in a Bond movie. He looks like Dr. Evil's like long lost son. He looks like he has a moon base.
Yeah.
You know?
the outfit they put him in. I'm like, yeah. Really?
The silver.
This is yeah. Fun about
he looks like he has a cat that he pets like all day. It's fucking silly. Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, the cold open like gave us a feel like it was gonna be a little bit more. Right. All right. So the six inmates are clearing out all the rogue AI. So apparently this computer, this ship, which is like a size of a building, apparently has all this just like rogue AI that's just doing all this stuff, which I don't think is outside of Jason, which they kind of all, it's kind of interesting because all the AI has like kind of like its own little motives. So, you know, they all want to just keep existing, and for lack of a better term, the cellmates, the fucking hackers, sorry,
yeah,
they keep deleting them, which is not exactly what they want. And there's some cool stuff there with like the girl who like traces back all the money, and she's able to like, you know, which is weird that she has to go to like this weird trash chute to find like the key. And then she gets murdered in there. She doesn't get murdered in there, but she almost gets drowned in the poop chute.
The poop chute?
See, but then this is where the weird thing. All right, so then there's the other hacker. Yeah, the poop chute.
It is a poop shoot.
Who's the other hacker?
You do get some really cool, practical. It is a poop shoot. Dead bodies. It's a poop shoot, though. That she takes her clothes off to go into the poop shoot.
Like, that's melting, which is great. And then, so the hacker, I think, is Laura, who gets killed off screen, right? Who's flirting with Mel. There's like, she's like, oh, you guys are both in a sensory tank at the same time. You guys can feel what the other one's feeling, even though you guys are in the same ship, but on different floors, because God forbid there's a sex scene in this movie or whatever. But, you know, it's sci-fi, so they got to be a cyber sex scene, right?
Yes.
But so then they kill her off screen. But then Diara, who's in the poop chute, survives the poop chute, jumps out, gets killed immediately by Capra, the probation officer, but gets into her head fucking smushed was a
rush.
Awesome. Super good.
Yeah.
But then you kill Laura off screen.
I think maybe because SA was implied. Rape was implied. Was it not? For her death. So maybe.
Could have been, but you could have killed her a lot of different ways.
You could have. Exactly. I mean, that was just what I kind of gathered from it. I was like, maybe that's why they implied that. But yeah, you see the probation officer, as we're calling him, crush this woman's skull full on. Like, you're like, oh.
It also gave me so being Event Horizon, being a haunted house move, or basically a haunted house spaceship, and then Capra being overtaken by the drugs because he has an addiction is also very much The Shining, which is also a haunted house, which is, they say Event Horizon was basically The Shining in space. Also saying that David Hewitt took inspiration from 2001 Space Odyssey, which is also Stanley Kubrick, who did The Shining. Full circle, we got there. Heyo, end episode.
But like, it's when you text me after you watch this and you're like, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And then I rewatched it this morning and I was like, you're right. I remember first watching this and not really caring for it at all. And then on the rewatch, I was like, you know what? This really isn't that bad. But I said in the beginning, I was like, this could have been made in 2006 and I wouldn't have known. Like any different versus like it being made in 2014.
Yeah, I just think like maybe like the HUD stuff and the post effect stuff was just a little bit more accessible to the production company to make it a little bit easier to make. That's the only one of the things I could think of. I didn't even get the budget for this.
Like,
but no, I just feel like it had a little bit, because it's also a slasher essentially in space
horror, which sci-fi.
Yeah, you could have had a little bit, because Jason Momoa was going around killing everybody one by one. I mean, great use of you know, production, as far as like you have one room there that you're just, you know,
reusing
with six different people and just put in
a
six
cube.
Different great, you know, and
no, we're here for it. We love
Vincenzo
that.
Natali is basically, as David Hewitt put in one of his interviews, like they grew up as best friends, the guy who made Cube, and they grew up making movies together. So he took, you're right, took a lot of inspiration from that. Yeah, like it had, like you said, like things weren't really explained. Things were cut a little bit short. Like she's also very much haunted by her past, the Ripley character. Because she let somebody on her team die on one of the missions that they had to do, or forced sentence work. And like, she's a little bit haunted by it in the beginning, and then completely is just in one of her monologues, just like, I'm good now. And I'm like, well, that's not okay. Like, you could have done this whole, if it's AI, you're only limited by your imagination as far as like what you can put out. Like, so you could have done a million fucking things. So like the same thing with like Laura being killed off screen, which I'm really upset about. Because it's followed up by the other kill. But you're right. It is a little bit implied essay, and maybe that doesn't age very well and it's not great. But like I said, you Jason Momoa explodes this fucking chick in the beginning of the movie. So you're only limited by your imagination, you know?
And then like you had some good fight scenes with him. There was a small little fight scene with Jason Momoa because he knows how to fight. It's choreographed very well.
It's fine.
He knows how to fight, and I'll give him that.
Yeah, that's fine. No, you're right. Like, they had to throw in some like action fight scenes in there, and with like the actress wearing Champion slip-ons because I could see the logo on them, and I was just,
and you're like,
ooh, sci-fi great. Shoes.
Ooh, I think I have a pair of those sci-fi shoes.
I saw those. Here's, at Ross.
Like, my one thing that really kind of like, you're talking about our Ripley character when you're all of a sudden she was like, ah, oh, guess I'm over it. like she watches the, oh my God, we're talking with the probation officer, smash this girl's head in, right? So this is like another one of her crew member people, right? She goes to the other two, doesn't mention it. It's like, by the way, you guys, this guy's lost his mind. Because all of a sudden the other guy comes in and he was just like, hey, I'm in charge. Like they start having a completely different conversation until the probation officer shows up. And then she's like, oh, right, we should probably kill this guy.
Oh, yeah, you should probably lead with like, yeah, we're being murdered.
Be like, hey, something's up, guys. Like this just happened. But you guys have a separate whole other fucking conversation. I was like, the act, but either the writing, I'm not going to go too hard on the actors. I do think the acting was pretty decent. Maybe it's just the writing and, like you said, editing of certain things.
Yeah, you know, like it just needed another punch editor up in there to go in and just like clear things up, connect the dots, add a little things into there. Two things. All right, to wrap up on the ending a little bit. So Kata finds out she uploads, which is weird because also there's no typing in this movie, even though like they're hackers. Like I guess they're doing everything with their eyes, which is interesting. You know,
they do like, have like little clear, like it's just completely clear. It looks like plexiglass, and like there are sometimes they're doing that, but that's it. But you're right, the majority of it is just like their eyes with the HUD and then like them talking.
Yeah.
Like talking us through it.
Let me just check on the baby.
There she is. There's the baby.
She's very vocal right now. She loves desks and she loves typing.
Okay. Well, make her write up a report immediately.
A book report.
Book report. We're just rounding it up. We're rounding the end here.
The ending's not all right. So, I like sci-fi concepts. I like sci-fi themes. My whole point is like, she writes real Kata Ripley, right? Writes a code so she like duplicates herself and her personality and her intellect in like a second and just like uploads herself to the.
She's like, I gotta go fight these guys.
Yeah, I gotta go fight these guys real quick. So, and it's one against five or whatever. So,
yeah.
And then that's where you get your cool fight scenes. And then in the real world, she tries to find where Jason Momoa is actually stashed the program. And apparently he's stashed underneath the ship with like a blood portal rave bath or something or other where he keeps all his DNA.
As you do.
Yeah. So that's where she goes. And then apparently she gets stabbed through the back and Kata in the physical world does not survive, which I thought was like, oh, super cool. That's why I thought this was very sci-fi. Yeah. It's in like a lot of sci-fi stories and where I feel like it's as cold as space. And like sometimes your protagonists don't get to survive a whole lot. So she doesn't make it.
And but I also enjoyed that too.
Yeah. Like, okay, I thought it was great.
Her physical self does not make it.
Yeah, but she gets to, after she defeats Jason, Momoa.
Jason Momoa, whatever.
Yeah, his name is I Am,
but we'll just refer to him as Jason.
Yeah, whatever. After he's defeated by the power of friendship, because everybody is now an AI because Jason Momoa has absorbed all of their DNA or whatever.
Exactly.
Which is not exactly clear in how DNA gets transferred to code or whatever.
But I know, I was confused. I was like, wait, they're all there? Helping? Cool.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. It's one of those things where you're like, this is not clear, but we're just going with it.
100%. So I was just like, okay, whatever. Yeah, we're just going to go with it. You know, yeah. Because everybody was kind of killed off very quickly.
Yeah.
So, and then the only thing I didn't like is like, yes, the ship gets to live off. It is now a cruise freighter. Our guy Butcher, I forgot his name.
Our only survivor,
who is not a hacker, becomes captain of the ship or admiral of the ship. And he's taking people on, which I'm like, you get rewarded by work at the end of this movie. Like you get a job.
Now you're the captain of a cruise luxury spaceship that is like led by the AI you were trying to defeat. Because at the end, it's Ripley. And then it's also still Jason Momoa. I'm like, you didn't kill him. He's still there.
Wait, I didn't see him. He's still there.
Yeah. Like it does this weird fade thing. Cause you see it's her. And then it's like his face going in. And I was just like, so it's still there. Like he's still going to kill.
I missed that. Maybe I saw a shitty copy of him.
It's implied that like maybe this, like he's turned bad and he's like, cool, this cruise line ship is now going to we're going to murder everyone on the fucking cruise line ship.
But it's also, you assume it's like 30 years later because their survivor is like old man now. He's just like,
he looks like
spray painted white hair.
They spray painted him silver. He's in like a very silvery outfit like Momoa was in. So you're like, yeah, it's true. Like what? There's no clarity.
So now it's even more in the future.
But I could be wrong. Well, if someone wants to go in and watch it, like, let me know. I'm pretty sure it like fades in and out. It goes between Ripley and then Jason Momoa goes. And I was like, so he's still here.
Like, well, I just didn't like it how it ended. It ended on her. All right. So I didn't see. I mean, I might have missed that part because I just didn't like that scene where it's just a screenshot of her like in digital format or what have you. And I'm just like, oh, that's it? Like, she's not even, like, vibrant or, like, her own program because her character was, like, a rebel and a fucking badass. And now she's just a program serving this ship. And I'm like, oh, that's so unfortunate. Yeah.
So unfortunate. So, like, the hero doesn't even get, you're right. It's not even, like, this beautiful AI that's, like, a luxury ship. So she's, like, this amazing, beautiful AI that, like, is there to comfort everyone. It's like, no, you still get this crappy thing. That's still,
you know, you're just
also
working forever.
Yeah, you're working forever. That still also might be Jason Momoa. So it might be evil still. We're not sure. So which ending is it? Is it like the happy ending? Hey, or is it, I don't know. Nothing is clear.
All right.
We've done our best.
We try to go through it and it's just as messy as it appears.
But it's like, if you like Jason Momoa, he's not in it that much, but he's still fun.
All right. All right. Well, number one thing that could have made this movie better, more Jason Momoa and punching him up to 11.
Punching him up.
Would him connecting the fucking dots.
Connect the fucking dots. But that there's its core is there. It has its bones.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's like I said, just need to, you had the dots. You need to connect them.
Yeah, exactly.
And the third thing was just like your hero character just so undervalued at the end. That just kind of like you write off and I'm like, that sucks. I'm not like, it's like the same thing where it's like that meme where just like, I don't want my AI to write poetry and make art. I want my AI to do the dishes.
Yes.
You know,
like, I don't want the AI to do the things that I love. I want AI to be able to like, please clean my house. Like, so I have time to do my art and to read my books.
So it's just a nightmare, like through and through. So even the AI doesn't even make it through. The AI just fucking gets to work for the rest of its life. And it was sent as weird.
Whatever.
Hey, Laura, what do you
think?
That's
how we feel. That's just at the end of the day, that's how we feel. Even as I am a Jason Momoa fan, this movie is just whatever.
But I said, like the bones were there and the bones were fun. This title of this episode is going to be Nobody Can Hear You Type in Space.
You will have to work forever. Nobody can hear you type in space.
That's real life horror. Yeah. Working forever. All right.
All right.
We'll talk to you guys later. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Follow us on all the socials. And share us with your friends,
please.
If you guys have any suggestions, let us know.
Inbox is always open.
There you go. Take care.
Bye.